week number five is all about commitments and honoring your commitments as opposed to those decisions of convenience that most people operate out of. Terry, one of the things that you asked was, why do most people not succeed in network marketing? And that's because they're not clear about what they're committed to, and their actions aren't consistent with those commitments. So this week helps to clarify not only what you're committed to, but helps to establish what your prospects are committed to so that you know how to best support them and you know how to best keep them in the game. Week number six talks about creating the personal development structure and evaluating your progress on a regular basis. So we actually look at what qualities would you need to take on. So let's just talk about the top three qualities that would most impact someone's business. So we look at what's missing for them that has them show up as powerful or charismatic or successful and effective with people. For me, as an example, when I first started, one of the things that I was not good at was developing rapport with people. So I actually took on asking questions, getting into people's worlds, finding out what was important to them, and then creating value, which was the second characteristic that I took on. You know, instead of just talking all about my company's features, what I did was I would find out what was important to my prospects and then show them how they could attain that here. So that's by creating value where I could show them exactly. For example, if they want to earn $5,000 or $10,000 a month, I would show them a plan to exactly get to that level, and that's creating value. The third area was actually making powerful requests, and so I would work on what is important to this prospect such that what step can I suggest for them that would have them a little closer to realizing something of importance to them. And so by making a powerful request that's in their best interest, grounding it in time, getting a by-when date that they're going to get back to me on it, it really sets up a structure to support your success and show people not only that you're effective in what you do, but you're serious about moving the conversation forward. And the next week, we would talk about listening and how we typically listen and how we can listen more effectively to our prospects so that we can identify not only how their listening is preventing them from moving forward, but also how their listening is, perhaps coming up with some objections which prevent them from getting into action. And so listening is a big part of our program where we actually support people to identify both what their automatic listening is, how they usually listen, and how they could listen more on purpose in order to support others with intention. We also talk about taking responsibility and embracing problems. And this is a whole chapter about really identifying when problems come down the road, how do we respond to them? And do we respond like most people where when we have problems, the thing we do is typically to quit in order to get rid of the problem? Or do we embrace the problem and actually look for the seeds of development in that problem where we can be more powerful in handling and expecting more problems without letting them derail our commitment and our vision for what's possible in our lives? So we support people to be powerful in the presence of problems and to not let them sidetrack them or have them fail and not realize the success that they want. We also look in week number nine at connecting with others. What are some of the ways and the secrets to actually getting into developing that charisma that has people want to be with us and be attracted to us? And so this chapter talks all about connecting with others, getting into their world, having them see that you're speaking from your heart to their heart as opposed to just rambling on in some intellectual exercise that they're really not interested in, not connecting you with. And then, of course, stepping into leadership and being the source of your success. We'll look at the elements of what is leadership and, you know, how do people step into leadership and declare themselves a leader and what are characteristics that characterize true leaders in our business and how can anyone go from where I went, which was a very introverted, not very good follower, to someone who declares themselves a leader and as a result of that declaration moves their life and their business in a forward manner. So it's really an A to Z complete business and personal development structure to support people in getting where they want to be.
Excellent. Now, one of the points that you mentioned is that you have some questions that you ask people to get them to tell you the information that you need, to, you know, what stage are they at in their life, that kind of thing. Can you give me a couple of questions that you would ask that wouldn't seem awkward or suddenly out of place if I just meet somebody and we're discussing? I guess generally just a normal discussion would be, you know, hi, my name's Terry, here's what I do, you know, that kind of thing. What kind of questions would I ask them to put me in a position to share with them that, you know, here's an opportunity or here's a product that you should be looking at?
Well, it all depends on how the person is in relationship with you. Is this person attracted to you because of an ad? Do you know this person already? So the first foundation is you have to have rapport developed with the person. You have to have created an opening for them to want to listen to what you have to say. And so one of the ways that I would do that is I might say something like, Terry, one of the things that we do is we support people to create life-changing incomes from their home. I'm not sure if this is for you, but would it be okay if I asked you a few questions to explore some possibilities to see if you might have an interest? And by asking that first question, it sets up other questions. So I might say something like, if you said sure, I'd say something like, Terry, tell me a little bit about yourself. You know, who are you? What do you do for a living? Where do you live? Tell me about your family. Tell me what's important to you, what you like to do on weekends and holidays when you're on vacation. Tell me a little bit about, you know, what you'd do if money weren't an object. So I like to lay out a very broad question like that, so I let people be in choice about what they tell me. Some people who are more reserved might just talk a little bit about where they live, and that's fine, and so we'd have a conversation about, you know, their residence. Others like to identify themselves with what they do, and so they talk about their work, and so I would further ask questions to find out if they love what they do or if maybe there's some dissatisfaction with their work or what they're paid for to be involved in their work. Others might talk about their passions, what they love to do, and maybe don't have the time or the money to completely do. Others might talk about their family and maybe some of their family's goals, and maybe I would look with them to see if they have enough income to support all of those goals. You know, if they have kids that are going to be going to college, can they fully fund that? If they love to travel, do they have enough money to see the world? You know, when you listen to what's important or missing in someone's life, you then can redirect your questions to ask yourself, how can I best contribute to this person with my opportunity? And then once you identify what's important to them, then it's easy to transition that to show them how they could develop an income by working with you, and now you have their interest because you've created value for them and you are looking to contribute as opposed to getting them to do something. So one of the things that I like to do with people, if I'm sensing that there's any resistance or, you know, they think that maybe I'm a typical salesperson trying to get them to do something, I'll just reverse that and I'll take the pressure off them. I'll say something like, Terry, you know, I don't know if this is for you, and I just want you to know that I have no expectations that you have to do anything today. I'd just like to ask you a few questions to explore some possibilities and see where it goes, and if there's a fit, that's great. My commitment would be to support you to, you know, get your questions answered, and if you decide that you'd like to work in partnership with us, then my further commitment would be to do whatever it takes to support your success. So I speak partnership and commitment to them frequently, and I key my questions and conversation to what I hear is of interest to them. And when you add up all of these different points, your enrollment skills increase because you're now directing your conversation to what's important to your prospect as opposed to just dumping information on him or her.
Okay. Now, that's a 10-week process. While I'm going through this process, is it something I'm doing almost like a textbook exercise, or am I actually out there trying to put this into action?
You'd actually listen to a CD or a cassette tape. You'd do some exercises in a workbook that have you that asks you some questions, so that when you're actually going out there speaking with people, you have these areas to focus on and to concentrate on your efforts. So I'll make I'll give you an example. The week on making powerful requests talks about the different components to a powerful request. You know, what people's options are when you make a request. They can accept them, they can decline them, they can counteroffer them, they can ask to get back to you at another time with an answer to your request. These are all different choices that they have. A powerful request would have a by when attached to it. So I would say, Terry, would you be willing to let me know your answer by Wednesday? And so you might say, well, Joe, I can't let you know Wednesday, but I can get back to you by Friday. So we teach the essence of making powerful requests that are in the prospect's best interest, and then you'll go out and you'll pursue what we call a daily action commitment, and that is a number of quality conversations that you're going to commit to day in and day out as you implement your project. And as you speak to people every day, you're going to focus on how well did you make your request? Is your request in your prospect's best interest? Did you set a time date along with the request? Is the request something that the prospect has agreed to and that you are going to follow up with? So those are just a few of the different areas. And so each of the weeks would have the exercises and the questions that you would ask yourself as you go about the process of building your business and speaking with people. And the intention there is for you to consistently not only take each week and add to it with the next week's exercises, but you will get consistently more proficient in your conversations and more effective in your communication with people as you take on the exercises week after week.
So this is a real learn-by-doing approach.
Absolutely. You know, it's not something where you can do it all in a vacuum in your office with a headset and a book. You have to go out there in the world and gather the distinctions of success. It's kind of like riding a bike. If you were to go to the library and look up bicycles, and you'd find out that they have seats and a pedal and they have wheels, and you could learn all about them, but until you actually get on the bike and you wobble from side to side and you fall a couple of times, and until you actually develop the distinction of balance, you're not riding the bike. And it's the same in network marketing. You could learn everything there is to learn by studying in isolation for years, but unless you're out there with a debriefing structure to get feedback on how you're doing after each conversation, you're not likely to make those breakthrough strides that you're looking for to support your business success. So it's definitely a hands-on approach.
Excellent. You mentioned something else just a couple of minutes ago, that when you request some information from somebody, that you kind of give them a deadline. Say, for example, you say, Terry, I don't know if this is something that's interesting for you, but once you take a look at it, can you get back to me by Wednesday? If I say, sure, Joe, I'll give you a call on Wednesday, but then I don't, what do you do then? Do you chase the person, or do you just wait for them to call you back?
Well, I would back up one step, and I would say something like, as we're making the appointment, I would say, Terry, I have a favor to ask of you. If, we've set this time up for Wednesday. If for any reason you can't make this time on Wednesday, would you kindly let me know at least 24 hours ahead, just so that I could give that time to someone else, because of the fact that I'd like to be able to honor other people here with that time if you can't make it. And I'd say, Terry, does that work for you? Would you be willing to either call this 800 number or send me an email at this address to let me know if something comes up and you can't make it? And so I would get your agreement to that. Now, let's say that Wednesday comes and you still don't show up. Well, now, one of two things can be a likely scenario. Either you forgot, or something came up that was legitimate to get in the way. Or the other is that, maybe you just didn't know how to tell me no and that you agreed to something you had no intention of following through on. So now what I would do is, if I had your email, I would send you an email and I would find out if something came up. Please let me know if you're no longer interested or if you'd like to reschedule. And if you don't respond to that, I would call once and leave a message on a machine. And if I don't get you, and again give you the options of getting back to me with a toll-free number or an email. And if I don't hear from you, then I'm going to take it that you're not a good prospect and that you are, in fact, a suspect. And that, if people are not capable of following through on their commitments and honoring their word, then they're not going to be very good business partners to work with. So I actually would be grateful to learn that early on, to not invest a whole lot of time and effort championing someone's success if they're not even committed enough to their own to follow through on their word.
So it's really a sifting process right from the beginning.
It's consistently, it's the kind of thing where, I make a move, you make a move, I make a move, you make a move, you make a move, I make three moves. My commitment is totally to my partner's success, but people need to work with me along the way, because when you chase people, you act desperate and desperate people are not attractive business partners or sponsors. So it has to be a mutual thing where people are working together with some agreements. So one of the things that that I talk about in my books, for example, are partnership agreements and getting clear up front what the responsibilities of the sponsor and the person sponsored into the business are on both parties and how those people are going to honor each other as the partnership evolves. So that, you know, if there's a breakdown and someone goes out of communication, it'll be very clear as to how to handle this and where to move next.
Okay. So this 10-week plan, I'm sure you've experienced this type of thing as well, where someone comes in with a lot of energy, they're excited, the motivation level is right there. Week number three comes along, and they start to kind of fizzle away, and you know, they don't even really make it into week number four. How do I personally stay motivated to continue on through the process? Because that's one of my biggest problems. I start off with something that I'm very motivated, I'm all excited about it, and then 4 weeks later, I'm just kind of, you know, it's kind of the excitement's died down, and I just kind of fizzle away.
Well, there's a number of different elements to support you to continue to stay in the game and self-motivated. The first is developing that vision that we spoke about that will not only inspire you to stay in action, but inspire those that you speak with. We also would develop a detailed action plan, so we break that down to a daily action commitment where every day you know exactly what you're committing to do in terms of action and speaking with people. We'd also have an accountability structure in place where I would work with you to support you to be accountable to what you say that you'll do. And by keeping in communication, I'm not going to let you go too many days with falling off the wagon and really not honoring your commitment to doing what you promised to do. And if that does happen, then what we'll do is we'll reevaluate your commitment and see where you're stopped, and the coaching process comes in to support people to get unstuck and to recommit to their commitments and to reengage in a way that has them experience success as opposed to frustration. You know, what usually happens is when people make a commitment, Terry, the first thing that shows up in their life is a problem or an interruption of that commitment. You know, people say that they want to build a business. They're all excited, like you mentioned, and then they start speaking with people and perhaps because they're not creating significant value, perhaps because they're not finding out what's important or missing to them, for a number of reasons, they're not being persuasive in influencing the prospect. And as a result, they make up that no one wants to do this. Instead of making up that they're a novice at this, and what is really needed here is a structure to support them in getting better from conversation to conversation. See, when people know that they're in the process of developing their success, and they know what to expect, and they know what the challenges are going to be, they're a lot better able to handle them, as opposed to going in expecting to be successful and then encountering rejection and then quitting because it's not what they thought that it was going to be. So I have it, Terry, that everyone who is willing to take on those two elements of being in massive, persistent, and consistent action and looking at how they can be effective in their communication with people and creating value, if they're willing to take on those two elements and they're looking at what's missing that if put into place would impact either of those two areas, then now they have a chance to consistently break through their stops and to be effective in their conversations.
So really kind of stretch to the next level, you know, of a little bit being uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's about not so much being uncomfortable, but being more committed to your commitment than to your comfort. You know, we're all committed to something, and it's usually our comfort, and getting out of that comfort zone and becoming uncomfortable is part of the growth process and actually stepping into the declaration of who you are as a leader. And so that's part of the conversation of what to expect and to keep people engaged in the level of, you know, this is not only something that's desirable to be outside your comfort zone, but actually it's part of the growth process, and it's what we want because it's in line with who we declare ourselves to be, someone who is able to break through and to constantly improve, and, you know, every day is another opportunity with new challenges down the pike to enhance who we are in the world.
Now, that's a good point in the the comfort zone conversation. Can you give us a couple of stories and examples of what happened to you when you were first out there, you know, stretching outside your comfort zone? You went to talk to somebody and something disastrous happened. Did you have any experiences like that?
Well, I had a lot of experiences like that. Remember, I was a very poor communicator. I was not good at developing rapport and getting into people's worlds. And so I could remember many times where I was so hungry for success to happen that I would drive several hours. I remember once driving to Cape Cod and another time driving to Maine. One is about 2.5 hours and one is maybe 3.5 hours from my home, only to get there to really have a brief meeting one time and have someone not show up the second time and being ready to throw in the towel and quit. And so I really just had to look at, well, what was missing from the conversation would have this happen. And so what I learned to do before, in this example, driving for hours without pre-qualifying a prospect, was to have a nice conversation with them on the phone to develop the bond and to connect with them first before actually meeting with them so that my physical meetings would be more productive. And what I've learned to do now is to really pre-qualify people, give them some assignments over the telephone or on the internet, have them check things out, answer their questions, really see if they're a serious prospect before we go to the next step. So I've learned that whenever something doesn't go according to plan, something's usually missing, and I've trained myself to look at what is that missing element that I could put into place to be more effective the next time. And so I just look at each of these breakdowns as an opportunity to break through and to achieve some level of success that I was not prepared to achieve before.
Okay. Let's talk about supporting other people to be successful. What can I do to get somebody to do what I want them to do? Basically, do you have some sort of special way or tool to get people kind of into action? I mean, generally people are lazy. How do I get somebody kind of a kick in the butt, get them to do what they're supposed to do and really kind of get them moving along?
Well, first I'd like to address two of the things that you said. The first was to get people to do what you want them to do. And so my first golden rule of prospecting is to give up your right to get people to do what you want them to do. And the flip side of that rule, step number two, is to look to contribute to their lives and to create value that will self-motivate them to want to do whatever it is that you want them to do. So the second thing I want to speak to is the fact that you mentioned that people are lazy. And whether that's true or not, I don't hold it that way. I hold it that people are always committed to something, and that something is sometimes their pleasure and their comfort. So how can I create enough value in what I'm doing to have people be self-motivated in order to follow through on what they say they're going to do? And so it's a matter of, there are a few elements there, Terry, but one is creating the structure for people to believe in themselves and to believe that if they follow through and they carry out the plan that I'm putting forth in front of them, here's what they can expect. They can expect to have some rejection. They can expect to identify some things that didn't work well. They can expect to identify some things that could be put into place to make their next conversation more powerful. And they can expect that if they take on the same commitment to developing themselves powerfully through conversations and through charismatically impacting people, that they can only improve if they take this on from a serious commitment. Now, what I would do is I would have this conversation with people right up front about that, you know, problems show up when people make commitments, and what they typically do is they quit if they're not committed to breaking through those problems. And so the people that I work with are clear about what my commitment to them will be, and I need to get clear about what their commitment to me will be so that, you know, the worst thing is to have unrealized expectations because it's not what people thought it was going to be. So I laid this all out front in my initial conversations with people when they come on board, and if they do decide to join me, if I do commit to their success, then they know that I'm going to have some expectations on their part, that they follow through on what they say they're going to do, that they commit and follow through on that consistent level of activity, and that they constantly look at putting themselves in personal development so that they will always become more effective in their communication. And so when people take on this whole process, you know, that whole lazy conversation really goes away, because laziness is really what we perceive to be on the prospects or, you know, the new distributor's end when we're not in development with them around, you know, what's going on in their world and why do they quit. So I hold it that people are magnificent and capable fully if given the tools and we're on the same page with respect to our plan and following through on it.
Okay. Something that I noticed in a lot of the products, your courses and your tapes and books and such, is that you really stress the importance of taking responsibility for the success of your business and for your personal life. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Sure. In the way that I'm holding responsibility, Terry, is not the way the typical word is perceived in the world. Most people hear fault and blame and failure with responsibility. In other words, you're wrong, you're bad, or irresponsible if you don't do something. And I'm using the word responsibility as the ability to respond. And so it's how can we maximize our power and our personal effectiveness? Who are we being that whatever the situation or the state that's showing up around us is happening? So responsibility from this perspective is the fact that we are the source of everything that shows up in our life. Whether that's true or not, it's a declaration that we make, because that declaration allows us to impact what shows up. So as an example, if I'm responsible for my business success and I'm not enrolling anyone, then taking responsibility for this would have me ask the question of what's missing to have people join me. What's missing in terms of creating value for these people? What's missing in terms of am I speaking with enough people? Am I listening to people and finding out what's important to them? Am I getting into their world and developing rapport with them? Am I, just dumping information on them? Or who am I not being that would have them not want to join me in partnership? And so by putting yourself in research around all of these questions, we actually get to be responsible for a result showing up, because we constantly look at putting into place the missing elements. You know, perhaps we're not speaking with enough people. Perhaps we're not being powerful in our communication with them. Perhaps we're not following up consistently. Whatever that missing element is, I will only know if not only am I looking there, but if with my coaches, they're supporting me to identify what those missing elements are. And so that brings up another key element to success, and that's the whole notion of coaching.
Okay. Can you elaborate on that a bit?
Sure. There's always some areas that we don't know about in our lives and in our business. And these are the areas that we're typically blind to. And what it looks like typically for most people is doing the same thing or a slightly better or different version of something, expecting to achieve more success. And because we're blind to what other people are seeing that we're not seeing, so let's talk about enrollment in that conversation. Perhaps it's like having bad breath, and everyone that you talk to knows that you have bad breath, but you don't know you have bad breath.
Right.
And so when you're talking to your prospects, they perceive that you're, you know, let's just say maybe you're landing like a salesperson. You're being pushy or slick or whatever it is that is unattractive to them. And because, you know, you think that you're doing the best job that you possibly can, you're unaware of what's missing that would have them be attracted to you. So we would create some structures like tape recording calls, listening with your partners on a three-way, listening to someone else make a presentation, alternating with your presentations. There are different ways for you to break through wherever those stops are and to gain key insights into why are people not joining us, when there's always a reason. And if we take responsibility for uncovering what those reasons are, we can actually move our business forward by putting those missing elements into place.
Okay, super. Now, what do you see as really the biggest problem or basically kind of a stop, people just stop, that really kind of derails them from achieving their own personal success?
Well, most people quit before they actually get to experience success. And it's either because they're not speaking with enough people consistently over a finite period of time. In other words, they're not creating the momentum that would be necessary by speaking consistently and persistently over a brief period of time. So, as an example, you could speak with 100 people over a year's time and not have nearly the same success as speaking with 100 people over 30 days.